Grace Fryer, for one, was filled with anger as her clever mind raked over what had happened. For she now recalled all too well a fleeting moment in her memory that sealed the company's guilt. "Do not do that," Sabin von Zahotsky had once said to her. "You will get sick." 7 years later, here she was in Newark City Hospital. Now, she realized, von Zahotsky had known. He had known all along. But if he had, why had he let them slowly kill themselves with every dial they painted? Grace had an opportunity to put that question to the man himself immediately. For when Martland tested her and Quinter for radioactivity in July 1925, he wasn't the only doctor present. Von Zahotsky sat quietly beside the technical equipment as the girls were told that they were going to die. And as Grace listened to the words fall from Martland's mouth, "All your trouble, presence of radioactive substances," the memory of that warning came rushing into her mind. Still reeling from the news, Grace nonetheless jutted out her chin with archetypal resolve and looked levelly at her former boss. "Why didn't you tell us?" she asked simply. Von Zahotsky must have bowed his head. He stuttered out something about being aware of these dangers and said he had warned other members of the corporation without avail. Earlier that year, he told Hoffman that he endeavoured to remedy the situation but was opposed by members of the corporation who had charge of the personnel. He now said to Grace, "The matter was not in my jurisdiction, but Mr. Roeder's. Since the matter was under his supervision, I could do nothing." Well, there was nothing the girls could do now about their fatal illness, that was for sure. And there was nothing von Zahotsky could do about his. For he also blew into the machines that he and Martland had devised that summer, perhaps just out of interest, or perhaps with deep suspicion, for he had not been well. Von Zahotsky's breath, as it turned out, contained more radiation than anyone they had tested so far. From the very start, Grace bore her diagnosis bravely. She had a courageous spirit and refused to let Martland's prognosis affect her life. She had always loved her life and, if anything, she now valued it even more highly. So she tucked the diagnosis away in her mind and then carried on. She didn't stop work. She didn't change her habits. She kept swimming. She kept socializing with her friends and she kept on going to the theatre. "I don't believe in giving up," was what she said. As for Quinter, like her friend Grace, she was said to have borne the news with a brave and smiling demeanour. Far worse than her own diagnosis, in the mind of a kind-hearted woman like Quinter, was seeing her friends suffer. She often worried, remembered her sister-in-law, Ethel Brelitz, because the others were similarly afflicted. At least she had the steadfast Dr. Kniff to help her with her treatment. Quinter's teeth grew worse over the summer, and she relied on Kniff's attentions more and more. Almost as soon as they'd received the news, Grace, Quinter, and Catherine Sharp hoped to bring a lawsuit against USRC in order to get some help with their crippling medical bills. Knowing that Marguerite Carlo had successfully done so earlier that year, they hoped it would be straightforward. Isidore Kalich, Marguerite's lawyer, was the obvious place to start their fight for justice. Quinter made the first appointment to see him. With some trepidation, for she had never done anything like this before, she limped into his office and outlined her case. He listened carefully and then broke bad news. Her action was barred by the statute of limitations. the new girls had run into an old problem.